Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Is the closest date to our first public service of Grace at Van Wy Elementary School, February 11th, 2007. We had our launch on April the 8th on Easter Sunday, but we started early just to get an idea of what it was going to be like to do church in a box in this small school. In fact, the first Sunday, we forgot about the screen, so we had to buy two white sheets from Meijer and drape them over a table for our background, for our projection, for our slides. But it was a journey of many months beforehand, of work, of planning, of prayer, saturated daily in prayer, and was purposed before any of us were even born. See, I believe the plans of God are eternal for every one of us, and we either can walk in them or we can ignore them. I believe we are walking in God's plan for Grace. I believe we have for the last 8 years now. To walk in God's plans, even though there may be hardship, will always result in rewards and benefits. To walk in our own is to walk with at best uncertainty. There's a story involving Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra was the catcher for the New York Yankees, and they're playing the Milwaukee Braves before they went to Atlanta. Tells you how long ago this story is. And up steps the plate Hank Aaron. Now, Hank Aaron was a real young hot hitter, and Yogi Berra was a talker. If you ever go, sometimes Google Yogi Berra quotes, because he's really great. It ain't over till it's over, you know. And I could go on, but I don't want to. I want to get distracted. Stay on track here. Stay on track. I got to do that today. Anyway, so one day in this World Series between the Braves and the Yankees, Hank Aaron steps to the plate. And Yogi Berra, in his crouched down position as he catches, goes, hey, Hank, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to do it so you can read the letters. Hank Aaron didn't say a word. The next pitch, though, he hit it into the left field bleachers for a home run. And he runs around the bases, and he gets home. He turns back, said, I didn't come here to read. Today, we celebrate this mile mark in our lives, but also we're coming to the end of our 40-day journey, growing with grace. And it has been done so with a purpose. And I know that a lot of you met with unfortunate snow last week. Actually, we had a pretty good turnout last Sunday, for even despite the snow, and that was great. And we canceled the Sunday evening service and the Super Bowl party, so use that form if you miss any of the messages along the way, and we'll get you the devotionals, the weekly devotionals. But we're going to kind of bring this to a close this week. And this week, in our Day 36 message, we're going to search a passage that will help us to keep our eyes on the prize. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much again for this day and this time to gather these people together under your care to teach. And Father, as we look into your word, may it speak to our hearts. May it click in our minds, illuminate the truth that's there for us in this day as we desire to grow in Christ's likeness, to be used in the community for your glory. Father, this is not about us, not even about Grace. It's about you. So would you do what only you can do and teach us, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, there are chair Bibles around you. Grab one of those and turn to the second half of the book and to page 155. Paul was a spiritual giant to the church in Philippi. And he loved them dearly. And in chapter 3, starting in verse 8, he says this, more than that, because he talked about all the things they lost, he gained in Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul wanted the church in Philippi to know that he had not yet attained the fullness of the goals that he had stated in verse 10 of chapter 3. So he goes on in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if any one of you have a different attitude, God will reveal it that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we've attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he, even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Paul was pressing on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. That's a great phrase. That's a great phrase because we are challenged with that every single day. This may be day 36 of 40, but we need here now to remember that ours is a continuing journey. It doesn't stop at 40 days. It's just giving you a glimpse of what we need to be doing and to continue on. Paul wrote this epistle about 30 years after his conversion on the road to Damascus. You can read about that in Acts chapter 9. He had many trials and many victories in his life. But here in the opening verses, he reminds us them by saying that not that I've already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. In other words, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Our journey continues on. Even with all that Christ had accomplished through Paul, he's saying, I'm not done. I still have things. Do you know that retirement is not a concept found in the Bible? Just read about what happened when Israel went to the promised land, man. Jacob, Caleb, don't mess with them. They conquered the hill country at age 80. We've got some ladies in our church, by the way, that can take you and me at any moment. You know, so they're strong, and they just don't give up. My mom had a birthday, you know, a couple days ago, but those are gone. You know, you don't know that she's, hi, Mom. Okay, never mind. We'll talk about that later. Come see me afterwards. The goal is to never level out and never plateau. Always keep pressing on. We're called to press on because there is work for us in Christ. Coasting is what you do when you're out of gas and pointed downhill. I know that one a lot. We're called to be filled with the Spirit, replenished and refreshed. And then he continues on in verse 13. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. He's telling them, look forward, not backwards. People, we tend to look backwards too often. We tend to look backwards to the things that just hurt us. The enemy stirs up and brings it to mind. He follows that exhortation by telling them, press on to your calling. Forget what's behind. Look what's ahead and press on to your calling. Now press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed. You know, when you drive a car, you know, which is, I thank God they've changed these laws. You can't text while you drive. Too many people have died while doing that. Because when you take your eyes off the prize, off the target of the road, you begin to sway left and to the right. It's too easy for your eyes. And when Josh, I love Josh, we drive, you know, he says, oh, did you see that? No, my eyes are on the center of the road. I do that because I want him to understand, as a driver, you can't be looking all around. You have to be aware, but you can't focus. So I didn't notice that Lamborghini going by. Yeah, right. In Flint. So you have to keep your eyes fixed on the goal that you have. Forward. An athlete has to focus in on the end result of the competition and compete then in the event to receive the prize. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes strength to be able to press on. We must know where we are going. There's a story some years ago. Back when politicians used to go on the road, You know, I love these old black and white movies. And Senator Morrow, Dwight W. Morrow, had gotten a train, and the conductor was coming down the aisle to punch the tickets, and he's desperately looking for his ticket. He's on his hands and knees and walking around, and the conductor goes, you know, Senator Morrow, we know, you know, you have a ticket. There's not a problem. Just mail it in when you get it. He says, no, that's not the problem. I need to know where I'm going. Sometimes we start traveling someplace and we don't know where we're going. God doesn't call us to that. He doesn't call us to blindly go, but to go in his strength and under his care. Paul says that God laid hold of him, literally called him into ministry. What's your calling? Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is our great commission. That's not just for the pastoral staff. That's for every person that calls Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. Every single one of us. Know your testimony. Be ready to give it in a gentle way to anyone that may ask, why are you so strange? Oh, they don't ask that of you. Okay, maybe it's just me then. But you know, we have to have that. We have to know our calling. We all have a calling. God will accomplish it in many wonderful and creative ways because the call is to all believers. In fulfilling the Great Commission, we should grow in a journey that pleases God. You're on a journey with God. You're not by yourself. You're not isolated. You always have him with you. Paul calls his readers to pursue Christ's likeness. That involves having a walk of maturity. You know, I think that's one of the greatest challenges in the church, maturity. Because we are in such a me generation, a me society, an entitlement that we don't think about God. We only think about me. People, we got to wake up and realize that church is not about me, it's about God. But too many people come in churches, what can you do for me? Well, here's a broom. We can teach you how to get strong. You know, here's a vacuum. We can teach you how to use electricity really wisely. We have to understand that our faith is not about us, but about the one that saved us. Doesn't mean maturity of having gray hair, having an AARP card, a full portfolio, quiver full of kids, retirement in place, never telling a joke. That'd be very sad. Never letting your hair down, talking baby talk with a baby in the line in front of you. Ever do that? I don't see how you cannot do that. Babies just somehow make you stupid in a great and wonderful and delightful way. Or any things like these. A walk of maturity means having a desire to walk with Christ. The last statement of the Great Commission, Christ said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, even till you go home and then we're together forever, for all eternity. In every circumstance, we need to acknowledge his being there because he is. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, verse 15, which means mature, reach the end, have this attitude. That is, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards the goal. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. When God reveals it to you, people listen to him. He's wise. However, verse 16, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Paul is encouraging them to live up to what they had already attained, namely a righteous position in Christ. The minute you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you have attained righteousness. That's called justification. And then you live your life becoming Christ-like, which is sanctification, until you go home, which is called glorification. There's a process that God has. We don't receive all knowledge. It's a process of learning and growing in Christ to become Christ-like. Paul is encouraging him to do that, to also have a walk of watchfulness. Paul does not hesitate to tell them to follow his example and not that of the Judaizers. Judaizers were Jews that were going around claiming to be Christians, but they were trying to point these new converts to observe the legal parts of the law. He's not saying to follow every little thing because he told them earlier in his letter that he was not sinless. We all make mistakes, but we should sin less. We should see growth in our lives from year to year. Excuse me. But to relentlessly pursue Christ, yes, follow that example. Follow what God says in his word. Follow Christ and all that he did. In doing so, you'll be joining in with others who have the same pursuit, that Christ-likeness. In fact, take note, watch, those who live according to godly patterns. There are people in my life that I've looked at that I admire certain qualities and traits about them. And I said, well, and the best way to do that is try to emulate those things. Kindness, courtesy, patience. Whoa. I sometimes feel I'm such an impatient person. It's horrible. The number of times I have to apologize to Josh, and I don't mean to be a crank. But sometimes I am. I'm a crank, especially without coffee. We go, not yet. Second cup. After that, we can start talking. Because he's just full of life, man. He's out there. You got to love that. You don't want to damage that spirit ever, because it's so precious and exhausting. Paul, no, in a good way. Please know. You guys know I love Josh. Paul warns him in verse 18 that there are people living as enemies of the cross, pretending to be Christians, but not doing things that are Christ-like. Believers should be able to distinguish truth from lie. John wrote in his first epistle, John 4, verse 6, 1 John 4, 6, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us, but he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In verse 18 of our passage tells us that Paul was so concerned about them that he wept for them. Ever had people in your life that you're so concerned that just tears flow when you think about them? Your heart breaks because you see the path that they're on, and there's nothing you can do but to pray for them, which is the best thing that you can do for them. In verse 19, he describes these people, says, whose end is destruction. The word for destruction, apaleia, does not mean annihilation, but an eternal separation from God. That is the goal that they're going to get. When they cross that line, they're going to be eternally separated from God without any opportunity or chance to return. That's scary. Any person who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if not accept them in his heart, that is their destination. That is their destruction, eternal judgment. People think that they're getting away with stuff, but they don't. Which is why the Bible says vengeance is mine, because God will deal with that in a righteous way, that we can't be righteous and just and fair. God has the final word. Whose God is their appetite? They think only of the physical desires. Unrestrained gluttony, which Paul talks about in Romans chapter 16, verse 18. Whose glory is their shame? Meaning that instead of getting God the glory, these false teachers heap praise upon themselves. Be wary of someone who does not give God the glory first. Yesterday, I'm going to use this as a communion meditation, but hopefully like me, you'll forget this one day. I couldn't find my vocalizing tape, which I've had since 1976. Precious tape, because this teacher of mine is no longer with us. And I happened to find it, and I wanted to move it to CD. And the tape, because of the car player we had before, decided to invest the tape inside the tape, wrapped all around. And so yesterday, I decided to take the tape apart and put it into a new case, because who uses cassettes anymore, right? For the purpose of playing it so I can move it to CD. Now, have you ever tried to take a tape out of a cassette and put it into another case?
Yes.
Is it fun? No, Satan designed these cases for a purpose, so that you couldn't do this. And so this tape is like all over the floor, and on my hand, I'm trying to wrap it back up on, it's a 60-minute long tape, by the way. So you know how big those are, right? They're as big as this. And I'm wrapping this around, and I finally, after a long process, got it into the case. And then I say, praise God. And then I'm playing it in the tape machine and starts to play. And Luann comes in and says, hey, great, praise God. I said, no, the praise God was the other part, getting into the case. Now I'm just hoping that it really works. We have troubles and challenges. And we get so caught up in things that we have to be wary about. I have no idea why I even went down this trail. But it was important, and the tape was on my mind. So let's just get past that. Who set their minds on earthly things? Paul is not saying that it's wrong to care about earthly. People are going to go at home, what is he even talking about? About earthly things. The warning is for those who depend on earthly things to gain favor with God and merit with God. You can't do that. Can't do that. And then finally, Paul is encouraging them to complete the journey. Verses 3:20 to 4:1. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. Oh, man. Glorious. by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, who I long to see, my joy, my crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. We can finish two ways. We can finish weak or we can finish strong. Paul is saying finish strong. Keep your eyes upon the prize. Finish strong and don't give up. I want to share a song that an acquaintance of mine wrote. And I'll tell you in a minute why it's so important. And just in case I lose the words, I want to give them to you so you can see them. Keep your eyes on the prize, running faithfully toward it, not turning aside. Stay focused on the prize. And when you cross the finish line, you will fall down before him. You will gaze into his face and you'll cry. The race was worth all the running and every pain that's been endured. Just to kneel down here before you and see the prize that's been secured. Keep your eyes on the prize, running faithfully toward it, not turning aside. Stay focused on the prize. All my pain and struggle over, no more fighting Satan's lies. I've crossed the finish line, embracing Jesus as the prize. The race was worth all the running and every pain that's been endured. Just to kneel down here before you and see the prize that's been secured. Keep your eyes on the prize, running faithfully toward it, not turning aside. Stay focused on the prize. All my pain and struggle over, no more fighting Satan's lies. I've crossed the finish line, embracing Jesus as the prize. I've crossed the finish line, embracing Jesus as the prize. That song expresses to me the point of that. Here's why. T. Chris Alderton wrote that song. He was a worship pastor in California. And when I had become a worship pastor, a director of worship in my first position in Reno, I went and talked with him and spent a day with him. Chris was an amazing guy. Nothing you'd look at, nothing particularly handsome that you're drawn to him, but he had a heart for God. He did a representation of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, that was just incredible, dressed in the period of it and the story that he would tell. Admired this man, loved his music. This is one of the songs that he wrote. One day I got the word that Chris had killed himself. He had gotten involved with a woman in his church, had an affair, and rather than being able to face it, he instead took his life, leaving a wife and several children behind. When the woman was spoke to, she said her desire and her focus was to take down the church. People, there are people out there that desire to take down the church. They will try it in your life, they will try it in mine. And for us to not realize that would be very foolish on our part. We need to keep our eyes upon Christ, realizing that he is the prize that we receive when we cross that line. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The word carry is the same word that's mentioned with the cross. We're called to carry our cross, and when the weight becomes too much, we can carry it for each other. How can we help each other keep our eyes upon the prize? First is encourage each other. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, which means while we are still here, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. It's too easy to tear someone down, too easy to see the faults, build them up instead. Next, pray for each other. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And intend to hit what you've aimed for. Hebrews 12:1b and following says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, so that we may with Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the power that it has. And Lord, knowing that our enemy is great and active, but you are greater. And so may we, as we understand our portion, our part of this journey that we have, may we live up to it with fullness, keeping our eyes fixed upon you for all things, that you may use us in all things for your glory. And we ask this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.